Right, and let's go to the book of Matthew, and let me read some verses to you here. In the fifth chapter, and beginning at the second verse. This is talking about Jesus. And he opened his mouth and taught them. Right. Well, that was worth it. Amen. The ladies are going to come feed the men on Saturday. So if you're looking for a free meal, this is the place to get it. Won't cost you any money, but it's going to cost you some sweat. Amen. So we'll look forward. Thank you, ladies. We appreciate that very much. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Amen. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I want to talk to you tonight about living beyond happiness. Happiness is not enough. Amen. You can live beyond happiness. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, life beyond happiness. But Lord bless you. You may be seated. I don't usually bring Reader's Digest to the pulpit with me, but I did tonight. There was an article in last month's Reader's Digest, which was in the July Reader's Digest. If you have that, and you may have already read this. If you didn't, then I want to share it with you anyway. It's an article entitled, Why We're Happy. And in all the miserable stuff you read, I like to read some happy stuff every now and then. And so this man, who by the way is a professor, he teaches business and government policy at Syracuse University. And he wrote this article about how important happiness is. It's interesting, is it not, that our founders, when they were writing our Constitution, talked about we are indeed endued with an inalienable right from our Creator. I'm glad they believed in a Creator. I believe in a Creator. Amen. And we are endued with these rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everybody say happiness. They could have said money. They could have said a lot of other stuff. But they said the pursuit of happiness. Now, so happiness is a pursuit. It's not a destination. Amen. And so there was a study that was done. The National Opinion Research Center did a study called the General Social Survey. And they've been studying about happiness. As a nation, as Americans, what makes people happy? Their study discovered this. In 1972, 30% of the population said they were very happy with their lives. How many do you think were happy in 1982? 31%. It went up a percent. And how about in these grungy days that we're living in? How many people are happy? 31% said they were very happy with their lives. I wish they would have called me. Amen. I would have told them, I'm happy. Praise the Lord. And the percentage of people that said they were not happy was about 13%. Amen. Now, here's what really I thought was so exciting. Do you know the number one reason people give for being happy? Faith. Faith. Amen. Of all the things that people talked about being happy, they said the number one thing that makes me happy is my faith in God. Amen. I read a lot of stuff that gives a lot of negative reports, but did you know that roughly 85% of Americans identify with religion? That's still pretty high, folks. I've heard less than half. I choose to believe this one. And I really think it's true. I think a lot of surveys, as a matter of fact, did you know 27.6% of all statistics are made up on the spot? And I just made that one up. So you never know about all of this because you really can't tell. But they said 85% of Americans are religious. Now let me tell you how that compares with some other countries. Holland, for instance, there's 9% of the percentage of the population that identifies with an organization or religion. In France, 7%. In Latvia, 3%. So it's not so bad here in North America, folks. Amidst all the doom and gloom that we read around us every day, it's not so bad. Amen. Praise God. And then it said of the people that claim to go to church at least every week, and it said that there were 43% of religious people said they were very happy with their lives. 43%. 23% of the secularist people that don't have a religious background and believe just in secularism, only 23% of them were happy. Amen. I think that's pretty good. Praise God. And people that are not religious, nearly twice as many of those fakes say, I'm inclined to feel I'm a failure. Amen. That's a sad way to live, isn't it? Amen. 36% of people say they pray every day, and they're very happy. 21% of people who never pray said they're happy. Amen. Second thing that makes people happy, guess what it is? Work. Amen. Work. Did you know one of the questions they asked was this? They said, if you were able to get enough money to live comfortably for the rest of your life, would you stop working? And out of 1,000 people, fewer than a third said yes. Two-thirds said no. Amen. So work makes people happy. I think part of it is they get to gripe about work. And that makes them happy. Amen. They get to talk about how bad their job is. But they keep working. And they want to work. Amen. So that's good. Praise the Lord. Among people who say they're very happy in their lives, 95% said they're also satisfied with their jobs. Amen. I'm talking about being happy tonight. Work makes people happy. What do you think is the third thing that makes people happy? Amen. Marriage and family. You know, marriage has got a pretty bad rap since the 1960s. But still, marriage, 42% of Americans said they were very happy that were married. 23% people that never married said they were happy. 20% of people that were widowed in 17, and only 11% of those that were separated said they were happy. Amen. So marriage makes people happy. Praise God. Amen. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. So marriage is very important. 50% of marriage people of faith who have children consider themselves very happy. 50%, that's pretty high. And listen to this. Of people that are unreligious that have children, only 17% say they're happy. It's important that your kids get this. Because if not, they're going to be little devils. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's important that they get this, folks. 50% of people raised in the church, raised their kids in the church, said, I'm so glad I have kids. And only 17 said, no. Amen. I hear parents, and it's shocking to me, people that say, I can't wait till my kids get out of the house. And then what are you going to do? Think that's going to make you happy? Let me tell you, it's not. Amen. It's not your kids' fault. You're the one that brought them here. Amen. Praise God. Well, I don't want to get off on that. I tend to get carried away. Amen. Amen. And guess what number four is that makes people happy? Are you ready for this? Money. But not what you think. What makes people happy, the fourth thing, is giving money away. Not getting it. That's right. Giving makes people happy. Not getting money, but giving money. That's what makes people happy. That's why we're so happy around here. Amen. Because we're always giving something. Amen. Praise God. And that was exciting to me because I've always believed that. Praise the Lord. People that give money to charities, 43% are more likely than non-givers to say they're happy. 43% more. That's way up, folks. And 42% of people that volunteer are happier than people that don't volunteer. So giving, whether it's money or time, makes people happy. Praise the Lord. You know, we're finding out why we're happy around here. Amen. And the number five reason that people are happy is freedom. Freedom makes people happy. Amen. Yes, it does. Praise God. And so all of these things I think were very interesting that it makes people happy. So people that are free economically make people happy. Politically makes people happy. Religious freedom makes people happy. But get this, moral freedom does not make people happy. People that don't feel like they have to do anything, that they can live their life any old way, and they're not obligated in any way to live a moral life, are not happy. People that said, I don't believe all that church stuff, I'm just going to get rid of all that stuff, they're unhappy. But people that have moral guidelines in their life and restraints in their life are happy people. You've heard this story before, probably. If you haven't, you will in just a minute. Amen. There was a schoolyard, and the kids were always climbing on the fence and pushing the fence. And so they said, let's just take the fence down. And they did. And guess what? The kids huddled in the middle of the playground and wouldn't go outside anymore. They've just all huddled around the middle of the playground. You see, because they had removed the boundary. Now they didn't have the security. They didn't know where it ended. You need some boundaries in your life. You need some guidelines in your life. Amen. Yes, people may push against that, but at least they know where the boundary is. Amen. Praise God. One thing that you'll notice when you go to some foreign countries away from North America is that many times going around old mountain roads, and you'll be going around a curve and you've got hundreds of feet down and they don't have any guardrails. It's total personal responsibility. And you go around and it's just, you look down there and I thank God for guardrails. I didn't thank God for guardrails until I went to Columbia. Then I started loving guardrails. Amen. And so, but they don't have guardrails there in most places. You're just on your own. And so thank God for some constraints in life. But freedom. And by the way, that gives you freedom. Amen. When you know where the guidelines are, you're a lot more content. And you can travel with a lot better sense of security. because you know where the guidelines are, and you can just zip right along. And for instance, have you ever tried to drive when visibility was almost zero and you couldn't see from here to that second pew? What happens to you? Your freedom diminishes. Amen, because you can't see where the boundaries are. When you see where the boundaries are, you can zip along 70 miles an hour, listening to music and praising the Lord. Amen. Boundaries are important in our lives, aren't they? Yes, they are. Amen. Praise God. So what I thought was very interesting about all of this is that the things that make people happy are not the things that you might think would make people happy. And I was glad to see this. This is just studies done and through many, many people being asked this question. 2004, the presidential election. Do you know what the most important issue was to Americans? Not the Iraq War, not the economy, not terrorism, not education, not health care. The number one issue, 2004, and I believe it's the same 2008, is moral values. The politicians didn't get it. The pundits and the pollsters didn't get it. But the number one concern of the American people was moral values. And I don't think it's changed. I think it's the same today as it was then. People still want to have moral values to raise their families with. Amen. That's the fabric that holds our nation together. It's important. Amen. Praise God. So those are the things that make us happy. By the way, what does the word happy mean? The word hap is a word that means chance. So we're happy when things are going well. And when things are not going well, we're not happy, are we? And so happiness is mercurial. It goes up and down, depending on how things are going in your life. If everything's going good, people are real happy. Things that when mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You heard that? Amen. And then all of a sudden takes a plunge, doesn't it? Life's like that. It's up and down. But I want to talk to you tonight about living beyond happiness. There is something that's beyond mere happiness. And happiness is great. But there's something that's better than that. This, what we call the Beatitudes that Jesus gave us in Sermon on the Mount, when it says, blessed are the poor. When you look at that, I want you to notice that the word are is in italics. When in the King James Version of the Bible, or in most printed Bibles, whatever they are, when you see a word in italics, that means that it was added there. It's not in the original Greek or the original Hebrew, but it's added there because it makes sense in English. Without it, it would make sense in Aramaic, or it would make sense in Hebrew, or it would make sense in Greek, but it doesn't make sense in English without that word. And so they add that so that it makes sense to us. And I'm glad they do that. I like the Bible to make sense. How about you? And so they add those things. So what is this really saying? Well, of course, probably Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount in Aramaic. That's the main language he talked, which was it was the language of the common people. The snobs, or maybe I should say the highly educated and the hierarchy, they basically spoke Hebrew. Amen. It's kind of like, you know, we don't speak English, we speak Texan, which is an improvement on the English language. But you know, in other places, they, if you want an English, then go to England, and they'll teach you English. But we speak Texan here, you see. And that's kind of like Aramaic compared to English. And so it was a different dialect. So Jesus spoke Aramaic, and the word that he used when he said blessed is the word ashireh. And that That word, when you see it in the Old Testament, it's translated like this. Oh, the blessedness. Not blessed are, but oh, the blessedness. And that's really what Jesus was saying there. He was saying, oh, the blessedness of the poor in spirit. And so that was the word that was coming across. Amen. And the bliss of the poor in spirit. It's beyond happiness. Amen. Now, he said, oh, blessed, or oh, the blessedness of the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to notice, the word poor here is the lowest word for poor that you can get. I mean, it really means poor. It's Job's proverbial turkey poor. You know, he was, I mean, he was poor, poor. People, that was a word for day laborers and common laborers. And below that, that was a word for poor, and that's this word. So how could Jesus say, blessed are the poor? How could he say that? Well, the poor that were that low down on the totem pole, they had nothing whatsoever except God. Except God. That's where Lazarus was, remember? Amen. When he was lying at the rich man's gate begging, and dogs would come and lick his sores. That's poor. Amen. But you know what? He had God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he was blessed, wasn't he? Now you need to notice this. Jesus didn't just say, blessed are the poor. You got to get this next part. In spirit. There's nothing glorious about poverty. There's nothing good about people being hungry and thirsty. There's nothing good about people being cold. There's nothing good about people dying of heat because they don't have anywhere to stay cool. I'm talking, when we're talking about poverty here, that's not what he's talking about. He said poor in spirit. What he's saying is when in your spirit you realize that you are destitute of all resources without God. But you realize that I have God. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, the opposite of this would be pride. The opposite of this would be feeling like you're self-sufficient. You don't need anything and you don't need anybody. Amen. But the poor in spirit realize, I need Jesus every hour of every day. I am totally and absolutely dependent upon Him. Amen. I have nothing to recommend myself. Amen. That is when we're talking about poor in spirit. He said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's how you enter in. Amen. You've got to cast aside all of, what was it Isaiah called it? Our filthy rags of righteousness, our self-righteousness. Amen. Get rid of all of that stuff. Realize Jesus is the only thing that I have, but oh, what a treasure He is. Amen. And you're happy when you live like that. Praise God. Most people I know that are real proud are not real happy. Most people that are full of selfishness are not happy. Amen. But the people that are dependent on God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those are happy people. Amen. Paul mentioned this in 2 Corinthians. This is the idea that he's getting across to us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I believe it's verse number 7. He said this. He said, what did I say? Chapter 12. I'm in chapter 11. That didn't look quite right. It's good, but it wasn't what I wanted. Amen. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations that were given to me, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Did you get that? Two times he said exalted above measure. Two times he said the temptation of pride could have destroyed me. He said, but God loved me enough to send me a thorn. Amen. And he said, for this thing, this thorn, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. You see what Paul's saying? He said, you talk about poor. I don't have anything to recommend me. All I had left was Jesus. He said, but when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's what he means. And that you can be poor in spirit, have no confidence in self, but you can have confidence in God. Confidence in God. And let me just say this tonight. When you have confidence in God, it gives you confidence. Not in yourself, but in God. It gives you faith. Not in yourself, but in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't want to confuse the two. But it gives you a sense of enablement. We call that anointing. Amen. Praise the Lord. We call that anointing. And so that's what happens to a person when we're poor in spirit. It brings an anointing upon our lives. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's more than happiness. That's more than happiness. He said, blessed are they that mourn. Amen. The word mourn here is exactly, it's the strongest word that could be written in the Greek language that talks about being destitute, being broken. What did the scripture say about a broken and a contrite spirit? It said, the Lord in no way will he reject that. A broken and a contrite, everybody say spirit. A matter of fact, you have to get there. You cannot come to an altar of repentance telling God what a good deal he's getting in you. Because he knows the truth. Amen. You can't do that. But you come to the Lord. And matter of fact, you can't even come to him until you feel that brokenness and you feel that need. God, I have really messed up and I cannot straighten this out by myself. But if you will help me, everything can be all right again. You remember that? That's what we call repentance. Hallelujah. I'll never forget the night I repented. You talk about feeling good. I felt so clean. I'll never ever forget it. The night that I just came and told the Lord, said, God, I'm giving it up. Amen. I've tried walking on my own. I've tried being tough. I've tried all the rest of it. I'm just going to give it all to you tonight. And oh, I felt so good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed are they that mourn, he said, for they shall be comforted. And who's the comforter? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So whenever you get down to business and you can get your spirit to the place that it's in mourning because of sin, Jesus Christ can forgive you and fill you with His Holy Spirit. Praise God. He said, blessed are the meek. Oh, the blessedness of the meek. What are meek people? Don't confuse meekness and weakness. They're not the same. People that are meek are not necessarily weak. Amen. The word meekness, it comes from the word that talks about a bridle in a horse's mouth that lets you lead a horse. Amen. And guide him where you want him to go. Now, you know what? That horse is far stronger than a man. He could eat your lunch if he wanted to. He could throw you off and stomp you to death if he wanted to. He could turn around and bite a chunk out of your leg, and sometimes they will. You see, but when that horse has been broken, That's the power under control. He's much stronger and you're much weaker, but you can exert your will over him because he is meek. Amen. Meekness is it's akin to self-control in the sense that it's a perfect balance. The perfect balance. Being anger being at that end of the spectrum and humility being at that end of the spectrum, it's right exactly in the middle. It's the perfect balance in life. So the Bible said, blessed are those that are balanced. Everybody say balanced. That ought to be something we seek in life, is to be balanced. Have you ever heard this saying, they're so spiritual, they're no earthly good. So heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Amen. You know, I've met some folks that talk so spiritual that they don't make sense. They come across as being saccharine. They come across as not being real. You know what? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Praise God. I mean, you know, God helps them. You know, God fries their eggs in the morning. I don't believe that. Praise God. Tells them what kind of pickles to buy. If you're not smarter than that, just stay out of the store. Amen. Yeah, but I'm going a little wild here. I know that. But I now believe in spirituality, but I believe in genuine spirituality. I personally don't think God cares what kind of pickles you eat. Doesn't matter to him. You can have Velasquez if you got lots of money, or get Food Club if you don't. You know, it's just up to you. Great value, you know. Get the cheap stuff. God don't care. Doesn't matter to him. Doesn't matter to him. But I'm just saying, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Some people, they're so spiritual that, but we got to be balanced. Just be real. Just be genuine. Praise God. Just be a real person. Be balanced in your life. Praise God. The hardest thing in the world is to maintain that balance. You maintain your walk with your family. There are people that have gotten so, here I am preaching to the church, but there are people that have gotten so involved in church they lost their family. Now let me tell you how you do that. Amen. Here's how you maintain that balance. You don't leave your kids at home. You bring them with you.
Yeah, amen.
Huh? You bring them with you. Amen. Praise God. And when they get old enough, then when you come to church to work, you bring them with you.
Yeah,
and you involve them in it.
Yeah.
Amen. And they learn that, hey, you know, this is more than just something we do on Sundays. This is something that we do every day of the week. Amen. Well, here I'm meddling. I'm trying to talk about being happy, and I'm just meddling again. Amen. Just can't help it. It's in my nature. Praise God. But we got to stay balanced in life. You got to balance church and family. Amen. Praise God. You got to balance everything. Amen. It's important. You got to balance work. You know, you got those three spheres. You got family, got work, got church. Amen. And you got to balance all those. And you can't get out of balance on any of them. Some people get to the place that they get overbalanced in work. And it affects their family, and it affects their church life. So you see, you can get overbalanced in any. You can get so overbalanced in family that it affects your church life and your work life. Amen. You got to balance all of those things. So then balance is the key that we're looking at here. And so he's saying, oh, the blessedness of being balanced in life. Amen. Being able to balance all of these issues of life. Then he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Everybody say hunger and thirst. That, now that's not talking about a midnight snack. When we're talking about this hunger, we're talking about somebody that is starving literally to death. And when we're talking about thirst, we're talking about people that lived out in a desert, folks. People that live in a desert. And those windstorms, sandstorms would come up, and they'd just have to get their garment and pull it over their face and feel the sting of the sand and just hope and pray until it was all over with. and it'll sap every bit of moisture out of your body. They knew what thirst was. They understood what hunger was. They were people that worked every day just for enough food to make it to the next day. And so they were always just a short step away from starvation. And he said that when you get that hungry and that thirsty for righteousness, then you're going to be filled. You know what we need? We need to get hungry for righteousness. We need to get thirsty for righteousness. Not just taking it for granted, but getting hungry for it. Amen. Hungry for righteousness. Hungry and thirsting to be right with God. When that happens to you, you're going to get right with God. Amen. Praise God. God is going to fill you, hallelujah, with something that is beyond any experience that you have ever had. Amen. Blessed are the meek, or blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Anybody here need mercy? Got to be merciful. Got to be merciful. You remember Jesus told us about a man that he owed millions of dollars. And he went to the king, and the king wrote off his debt. And then he walked out of the king's palace, and he saw a man that owed him a few pennies. And he grabbed him around the throat and started choking him and shaking him and threw him in prison and said, "You're not getting out of there till you pay me everything you owe me." How in the world is he going to make money in there? Isn't that stupid? Makes no sense, does it? Neither can you pay the debt that you owe God. There's no hope. And what did Jesus teach us in his prayer? He said, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those that trespass against us." Amen. Forgiveness is not an option, folks. Being merciful is not an option for a Christian. As a matter of fact, merciful people are happy people. Why in the world do people hold grudges? All it does is ruin you and your life. Huh? That's right. Old bitterness gets on inside and it starts eating you up like a cancer. It ruins your attitude. You can't be happy because you got to hold on to your grudge. You got to keep that anger stoked every day so that you can get up feeling angry about something. Yeah, that's exactly. It'll work you to death. Amen. It's bad, folks. But always being under a grudge. Why? Just let it go. It accomplishes nothing but destroying you and your happiness. Let it go. Amen. Be merciful. People that are merciful are happy people because they're not weighted down with a bunch of unforgiveness and bitterness. Amen. There's bliss there, folks. Praise God. Just let it go. But Brother Grissom, you don't know what they did to me. No, but I know what they're doing to you now. I know what you're doing to yourself. Let it go. Amen. Praise God. Blessed are the merciful. They should obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Amen. Something that's pure is something that's not mixed with anything. It's pure. Amen. Has nothing in it, but just it's just purity. The Bible said that to the pure, all things are pure. I like that. Amen. I like people. We live in a world that is so jaded and that has destroyed everything. Our world has taken good words and perverted them into profanities. And anymore, you know, whatever you say, somebody will snicker because there's some connotation that they can conjure up because their mind is always in the gutter. But thank God for people that are pure. Amen. You're just pure. Your mind is pure. Your heart is pure. Amen. You don't those things don't affect you. It means nothing to you. I'm afraid sometimes to repeat some things that I hear because I don't know where they come from. I've said things before and people laughed, and I didn't know what they were laughing at. I didn't know the connotation. I don't know where that phrase came from. I don't know if it come from some perverted source that I don't know about, and I don't want to be tainted with that. So just let me tell you up front, if I say something that come from somewhere that's not pure, I just didn't know it. What I liked about learning Spanish in Colombia, people could cuss me out and I had no idea what they were saying. Because I know a good bit of Spanish, but I don't know any cuss words and I don't want to learn any. So boy, I could tell some of them because they were saying things I didn't know. And I could tell by the look on their face they were unhappy. And they were letting me have it. And I could just smile and say, same to you, buddy. Amen. Praise God. Because I had no idea what they were saying. It's good to be pure, you see. You got a pure mind. You got a pure heart. You don't know what they're saying. Amen. Praise God. And you know, really, as pure people and pure in heart, if people do curse us, what difference does it make? It's just words. It's just words. Amen. Just let it go. It's just words. Now, I can preach that, but it's a lot harder to practice it. And I'm covered with the same stuff y'all are, so I have to deal with it too. Amen. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. God is pure. I like being around people that are pure because, you know, they everything's not has these subliminal meanings and these underlying things and these all of the stuff that goes with it. You know what our world's like today? It's just I'm so sorry that we've gotten in this condition. That even common speech is why in the world do people with a decent education have to use cuss words? And they can't explain anything without profanity. Amen. Just, hey, fella, just give it up. You know, I understand how we kind of got, there was a time, you know, those were shock words. You were supposed to be shocked when you heard it. But it's not shocking anymore. It's just plain old dirty. And don't shock anybody. All of it's been so overused until it's lost any meaning that it ever had. So just let it go. Amen. Thank God for the pure in heart. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, not the troublemakers. Uh-oh. Y'all supposed to smile at that. When I say something like that and you don't smile, it makes me nervous. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. For they shall be called the children of God. Don't you like people that make peace? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Just be peaceful. And make peace and love peace. Praise God. There are some people that are so miserable that they always got to keep stirring things up. They don't like it when other people are happy. Amen. And so they'll always try to stir things up. But thank God for peacemakers that'll take two opposing parties and put them together again. And they're happy people. Peacemakers are happy. They're not trying to please anybody else. They're not trying to win brownie points. They're just happy. Amen. Because they live in peace. Because they love peace and live in peace, they can bring peace to others. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Everybody say, for righteousness' sake. Amen. Now, if you give somebody a piece of your mind and they smack you in the nose, that was not for righteousness' sake. That was for blowing off when you should have kept your mouth shut. You're not being persecuted. You're just getting what you had coming. Amen. The Word of God's practical, isn't it? He said, but when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. You're blessed. Amen. When you're persecuted for His name's sake, you're blessed. That's why the apostles could be put in a prison cell for preaching the Word of God, and they could have perfect peace because, you see, they were being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen. Those things happen. There are those of you here today that you've been persecuted for righteousness' sake. There are people possibly here today, I'm sure there are, that have been passed over for promotion because of righteousness' sake. Amen. People just didn't like you because of who you are and because of what you are. And so you were passed over. Somebody that maybe was not as worthy as you received a promotion because they were not like you. Amen. This whole world doesn't appreciate our righteousness, but our God does. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'll tell you what, He's just gonna keep on blessing, because the Bible said, don't forget that this is not your kingdom. Our kingdom is heaven. Hallelujah. Our kingdom is heaven. Well, Brother Grissom, what are we going to do when we get there? Well, until you get there, let me tell you what He gave you. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That ought to be enough to get you through this life. Until you step on heaven's shore, you're not left destitute, folks. Amen. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. So when somebody does you wrong and somebody persecutes you, and for righteousness' sake, there's going to be a peace that passes understanding. Amen. When I read about those old warriors of the cross, the martyrs of Bible times and even of present times, you read about people that literally died for the faith and laid down their life for the faith. And the stories I hear, they go out singing. And they go out praising. And they go out worshiping. Like Stephen of old, the Bible says, when they picked up stones and began to stone the life out of him, the Bible said his face shone with a radiance. And he said, what did he say? He said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Amen. I'm talking, that's the kind of righteousness I'm talking about. That only comes from God, folks. You can't buy that at the store. And you can't learn that in any institution. Only God can give you that kind of peace and that kind of strength and that kind of joy. Amen. I'm talking about living just beyond happiness. Happiness is good. But I'm talking about living in blessedness. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Happiness is wonderful, but He gave you joy. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It's not something that's manufactured. And it's not something that is dependent on chance or taken away by change. It's something that's steadfast. Amen. I'm talking about joy that when you get up in the morning, there'll be a song. And when you're walking through the valley, there'll be a song. And when you're going through sorrow, there'll be a song. Amen. And when you're going through trouble, there'll be a peace. Praise God. Amen. That's what I'm talking about today. That's the blessedness that Jesus Christ promised us. Amen. That's the fruit in the Christian life. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's more than just being happy. Praise the Lord. But it's far exceeds that. And I don't want to take it for granted tonight. Some of you have had the Holy Ghost longer than I have. But you know what, folks? We can't afford to let it grow old. And we can't afford to take it for granted. Sometimes I don't think we even realize how blessed we are. Many of us don't have to associate much with people that don't have this. And because we're isolated, we forget what life is like without Him. It's pretty tough and very miserable. Amen. But thank God, because we have peace that passes understanding and unspeakable joy. Praise God. Anybody blessed here tonight? Anybody thankful here tonight? I'm telling you, you're living a blessed life. Amen. You're living a blessed life. Praise God. You have things that this old world never heard about, never knew about. And we need to start telling them. God, help us to get this message out. Help us to show them this kind of love and this kind of mercy and this kind of righteousness and this kind of peace. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we just lift up our hands right now and let's just begin to thank the Lord for all the blessing He's brought into our lives.